Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
Get It In
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
Ian's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Welcome, everyone, to ENN on a Tuesday evening. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Okay.
And we'll say good evening to Don.
I can't arouse a woman.
RJ, do you have that Michael drop from last night that we never played? It's an interesting moment where, I don't know if you heard this, Michael tried to say something to me. He was busy trying to make fun of me.
Why don't you do, Peter?
What?
Why don't you do, Peter? I don't know what I was trying
like
to say.
Like Pia Zadora?
I don't know what you're trying. I don't remember what you were trying to say, but your pronunciation of my name is Pia.
Why don't you do, Pia?
Wow. It's worrisome, Don, isn't it?
One day you're going to get old.
I hope so. See, some days you say I won't, so. So last night we had the ESPN special, The Return of Sports. A lot of interesting things happened there. Adam Silver talked about players like Damian Lillard's concerns about a restart of the NBA season.
I can only say it may not be for everyone. I mean, it will entail enormous sacrifice on behalf of those players and for everyone involved, the coaches, the referees. Listen, it's not an ideal situation. We're trying to find a way to our own normal in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of essentially a recession or worse with 40 million unemployed, and now with enormous social unrest in the country. And so as we work through these issues, I can understand how some players may feel that it's not for them. And as you said, it could be for a host of reasons. It may be for family reasons. It may be for health reasons they have, or it may be because they feel, as some players have said very recently, that their time is best spent elsewhere.
Lillard also talking about the possibility of a restart.
I'm not really sure. I don't feel 100% comfortable, but, you know, it's a risk that I'm willing to take. Like I mentioned earlier, this is what we do. This is our job. And this is how we take care of our families. And also, like I mentioned earlier, it's my way of providing for communities and impacting my community. So to play the game I love, to resume the season, you know, I guess it's a risk that I'm willing to take.
So it sounds like Lillard seems more likely to play post the protests starting than he did before, no?
Yeah, it does.
Sounds like now he sees it as motivation to play.
I think so. That's the way you have to look at it. It provides you with a platform that you wouldn't have if you weren't playing. And again, I'll repeat what I said yesterday. There's guys like LeBron, you know, has, you know, 40 million followers. He's got a platform from his, you know, from his den if he wants. But other players can have a real platform playing in the NBA Finals or the NBA Playoffs. I don't see how that's looked at any differently, and it's not taking attention away from protests. It's just not. It's bringing attention to protests.
And even with all the attention LeBron has on him, even when he's not playing, there'll always be more when he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, and again, I just can't get around the arrogance of, really, you think you're going to shut this whole thing down just because you're playing basketball? I know a lot of people like basketball, but no, come on.
There are a lot of people that are protesting what they're protesting. They don't care about the NBA.
Or they care about it, but they care about this more.
But there are a lot of people that don't.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
You think those people are going to go into their house? Well, you know, time out on the protest. I've got to go see Lakers against the Bucks. Stop it. How self-important are you?
Yeah, I think there are a lot. Listen, like I said, I was out there on Saturday. It was a wide range of ages, background, gender, everything. You know, I think Damian Lillard and Kyrie Irving could have been right there in the middle of the march. No one would have even noticed. This thing is bigger than that. And again, I really do appreciate, I think mostly this is all coming from a place of wanting to be effective. I don't think it's, I understand why we criticize it and say it seems self-important, but I don't think it's coming from a place of self-importance. I think it's coming from a place of trying to do the right thing, and it's slightly misguided, and in that there's some self-importance about what the NBA is. Because in their world, everyone that they're talking to is probably now really interested in what's going on, but previously they'd always discussed the NBA. So maybe to them, it's like, oh my God, well, what are they going to do now? SportsCenter is going to completely change everything.
Here's what we're guilty of. Michael's guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. You, the NBA players. Like, Michael loves baseball. He's around baseball people, right? So a lot, he has a different view of the sport because he's in it. You know, when I'm on the road with the Rangers, Peter, I mean, it's all like, all right, what's going on with the other scores or what's happening? You would think that the world revolved around the NHL based on our bus ride back and forth to the arena on the plane home, because that's what we do. And I'm sure it's the same with you wrestling. When you were there on Sunday, that was your world.
No, but it's different because I'm so constantly slapped in the face and told by the world that my world isn't real, that I know I can only operate in a very small place.
But you are going to have a perspective of it being a little bit more important because you're in it and you're around people that love it as much as you love it. And it's on your conscience more than it is for other people. But to the average Joe, I mean, Michael said it best. Go walk down Lincoln Center when there's a big game going on, and how many people care about the big game? That includes Yankees, too. We're at the Super Bowl.
I mean, no, in all forms of culture. What about people who go to Lincoln Center for an opera? You think if that was happening in my hallway, I'd shut the door and shove paper towels underneath it.
Right. But the people going into that performance, it's their world.
Of course.
And everybody around them, it's their world, too. So they're thinking this is how everybody thinks. You know, so we're all kind of guilty of that a little bit. So I'll give them a break for the self-importance idea of it. But I just think it's apples and oranges. But what if Spike Lee stopped making movies? You know, what if Jay-Z stopped producing music? I think you want to continue to do what you're doing and use that as your platform.
You know, we had Stephen A. on yesterday. I wonder, does Kyrie Irving think that Stephen A. is wrong for continuing to work?
Well, people
taking attention away from, I mean, think about that. So say Stephen A. decided not to do First Take and not to be on ESPN because it would be taking attention away from the protest. That wouldn't be prudent. He gets more attention saying what he says on ESPN than if he got off of ESPN. And the same thing with the NBA players. They'll get more attention on a big stage rather than not. And, you know, Stephen, he also brought up something that it's a little fishy. So Kyrie had this phone call, and he didn't invite Chris Paul or any of the big-time veteran guys.
Well, they weren't invited?
No, Stephen A. said they weren't invited on the call. They just got on the call. They were not invited on the call. So what's he trying to do? Chris Paul's the head of the Players Association. And he's the one who negotiated with Michelle Roberts the agreement. So don't you think that Chris Paul deserves to be on? Now, Chris Paul got on, but he wasn't handed an embossed invitation.
And wow. I guess this is Kyrie's Twitter, right? It's a verified check, 4.2 million followers, right?
That's Kyrie. Kyrie Irving.
A little more than me.
He hasn't tweeted in 2 years. So, you know, again, I'm not saying that he doesn't care, but I asked you, Peter, is he marching? Is he doing anything?
I saw pictures that he was out.
Okay, good. But
and I know this is probably harsh to people, but people are going to question Kyrie. And he can, if he wants to be annoyed by that, he has the right to be. But at the same time, like, even people who like Kyrie and love the game of basketball, I think, have found him to be very hard to read and kind of weird the last couple of years.
But the one thing that you could read is he's somebody that, you know, is really wants to play basketball.
Well, but you said the one thing you know is that he does?
I think the one thing that you could call into question is,
yes,
how much does he want to play basketball? So when he's willing to sacrifice not playing for the cause, how much of a sacrifice is it really when there's some question on how passionate he is about playing
this
year
in particular? I know Nets fans felt like, wait, is this guy ever playing? And listen, we don't all know every detail, but that is an idea that exists in the public. And I do think Kyrie has a tough sort of reputation, considering I think he's a really good dude and smart guy. But he's sort of done it to himself. You know, he likes to be an interesting, weird cat and be perceived that way.
But I think it could be both. I think his heart could be in the right place.
I think it is. But like, that's what I'm saying. I think his heart is in the right place, but the last few years, you develop a reputation among fans, and they're going to think what they're going to think. So now they may question you even when your heart's completely in the right place. That's what happens. But Kyrie, Avery Bradley, and others are forming a new coalition, according to Woj and Malika Andrews, as a growing faction of players are uncertain about committing to the league's plan to restart in Orlando. The coalition is exploring answers and solutions that they believe to be for players that they believe to be justifiably reluctant. So we'll see. Commissioner Goodell spoke on the Restarting Sports Center special last night, and he was asked about a role for Colin Kaepernick in the NFL.
If he wants to resume his career in the NFL, that obviously is going to take a team to make that decision, but I welcome that, support a club making that decision, and encourage them to do that. If his efforts are not on the field, but in continuing to work in this space, we welcome to that table and to be able to help us and guide us and help us make better decisions about the kinds of things that need to be done in communities. We have invited him in before, and we want to make sure that everybody's welcome at that table and trying to help us deal with some very complex, difficult issues that have been around, unfortunately, for a long time. But I hope we're at a point now where everybody's committed to making long-term sustainable change.
I don't know how much of that show you saw, but boy, I know he's a friend of the show and he's a friend of ours. Greeny was good. Greeny was really good. He was conversational on everything. He just nailed it. He had all the right questions to ask. Can't force people to answer the way you want, but he asked everything that had to be asked, so kudos to him.
He's on, and I expect nothing less when I see that, because he's just absolutely terrific. Anybody else think that Adam Silver and Roger Goodell sound a little similar?
Yeah, there is something. There's something there.
And I mean, I'll ask you a question again, Don, that I asked earlier. Well, why does Gary Bettman have a hockey net in his backyard?
I don't know, but he looked comfortable. I know that the squirrel that was behind him got a little bit of airtime, too.
Very cute.
On social media, which I thought was cool. I thought he was good. I thought Patrick Kane was good. It's a good show.
Not a good day for Aldrich Rosas.
Oh, my goodness. You know, what a story.
Man, Giants kickers have an interesting history. This time, according to the California Highway Patrol.
Chips.
That's right.
That's right.
Chips. Eric Estrada on the scene.
Ponch.
Rosas, the Giants kicker, was arrested and jailed for misdemeanor hit and run and driving on a suspended license.
It wasn't just a hit, Peter. It was a T-bone. He T-boned another car.
Alcohol is believed to be involved. He was driving his SUV around 8:25 a.m. at around, they're saying, 100 miles an hour, ran a red light, hit a pickup truck, and then he attempted to drive away. Then, when his vehicle became disabled, he fled on foot. Police found him walking on the side of the road with his hands, legs, and bare feet covered in blood.
Bare feet.
So, besides that, though, how'd it go?
Also, when you're... Again, everything's alleged. So they allege that drinking was involved?
Mm-hmm.
It's 8:25 a.m.
Not a good sign.
None I would
of
think
it sounds this, very good.
It spilled into the next day, whatever he was doing.
Was so you don't think he started at like 5 or 6. You think he started late at night and
That's
kept
right.
it going.
I think
a barefooted
right.
kicker. We haven't seen a barefooted kicker since Tony Franklin.
Excellent point. Now, how long did the Giants stay with him?
I mean, I think there's enough evidence there, Michael, to cut him immediately.
We got to let the situation play out. But the guy's driving 100 miles an hour and ran from the scene of an accident. That, to me, that's a lot.
It's a lot
to consider.
Under the influence. I mean, you want to let it play out, but how do you think it's going to play out?
Like, a wise man once described the situation well. You may be familiar with him. His name was, I believe, Joseph McGillicuddy Girardi. And he said, it's not what you want. So,
well, let's face it. Any other great man, Billy Martin, said, if you can't get it done by 8 a.m., you know what? Go home.
I think it was earlier than 8 a.m.
He actually said midnight.
Well, you got to update it, Michael.
He said it to me.
You got it, it's up there. He said it to you back in the late
80s. Midnight's too early now.
Things are different now. If you're an NFL player, especially a kicker, because kickers are like rebels now.
If you're out, I would say
also,
the line that Billy Martin was trying to say
he's buff. I mean, he's just not built like a kicker.
I think for the point Billy Martin was trying to make, the 2020 version on a night out would be, if you can't get it done by 3 a.m.,
right,
it's over.
Even 8 a.m., what are you doing?
Well, 8 a.m., though, you're well past. It doesn't even make sense.
8 a.m., I think you retire from the game.
8 a.m. on a Tuesday, by the way. I mean,
well, the true greats probably needed till 8 a.m. to get everything done. Like Joe Willie probably could have used a couple of 8 a.m.s in his life, right?
Oh, no, Don. I'd be home sleeping.
I couldn't disagree with you more. Yeah. Joe got it done by 9 p.m., was in bed at 8 a.m. He was fine.
I know that to be a fact. I'm just saying if there was anybody that probably could have continued to work until 8
a.m.,
it was him.
He was sleeping with some lovely company in a large California king.
I'm just saying that there was more company.
Waterbed.
California king waterbed. The Raiders' new stadium, guys, this is exciting. It's going to host the 2021 Pro Bowl. You ready?
Will there be fans?
No.
Well,
and there will be a vaccine, and there still won't be any fans.
What's wrong?
There'll be no such thing as COVID, still no fans. The Pro Bowl is the only event that's played in a sport that I adore, and I literally forget to watch it every single year.
There's nothing like it. There's nothing so beloved that could be so bad involving something that you love so
much.
Not
only something you love, but mostly the players you care about. They're all there. I mean, for the most part, it's all the stars. And no.
Now, did you, speaking of football, so the Post is running a series previewing all the teams in the Jets division and the Giants division. Brian Costello previewed the Buffalo Bills today, Don and Peter. Where did he have them finishing in the AFC East?
Second.
Had them finishing last. Ralph Vacchiano previewed the Washington Redskins. Where did he have them finishing?
First.
He had them finishing last. But Costello going last for the Bills? I'd say that's shocking.
No, why would you do that? What indicator is that they're going to be too last?
He said people are going to be aiming for them. They've been flying under the radar. And it's going to be, will they take the next step? There's going to be too much pressure on them, and they probably will not do well.
Okay. But why do we so think that Miami that might be working in a brand new rookie quarterback? Because I think they're going to want to try to get him on the field as quick as possible.
Supposedly he's in great shape too.
You know, the New England Patriots, who just lost their quarterback, and the Jets, who let's not forget the first half of their season, are all just going to be better. Like, I could see, I understand the point that maybe Buffalo might take a little bit of a step back, expectations are high and all that, but it takes two to tango here. You also need the other teams now to finish ahead of them. All three will finish ahead?
Sad.
Well, listen, he's entitled to his opinion. It's not like he didn't own it. I'm sure his name is at the bottom of the article, so you knew who said it. So
no, top of the article.
Right there.
Brian's a brave man. Brian can handle it.
And Vacchiano said the Redskins would finish last?
Yes.
What did the Redskins have anything to do with this?
Yeah, why not the Giants? What was he?
He said the Redskins are going to finish last.
Yeah, but I don't know why it even – what does that matter?
Right. You just say it to a –
because if you pick the Redskins last, that means the Giants aren't finishing last.
Oh, got it. That's true.
Well, then you could have said –
well, no, tomorrow
the
they'll have
finish.
Another team that'll debut.
I thought it was like what a juxtaposition that in the paper – one One article has the Bills finishing last in the AFC East and the Redskins finishing in first in the NFC.
Wrong.
Like that's what I thought he was going.
He set it up and goes, he has the Jets finishing last. And wait till you find out where he has the Redskins. Where? Also last. No, that's normal.
I think he was just taking a shot at you.
Me too.
It went awry.
Yep. Who's taking a shot? Me?
You.
The Redskins have nothing to do with the conversation. Why did you bring it up?
No, I said, speaking of football, and I said that they had these previews, and they both jumped out at me, especially that Brian, who I like and respect, has the Bills finishing last, and I couldn't leave out the NFC East that the Redskins were previewed today. It wasn't a shot at him. He knows his team stinks.
I still don't get it. Why won't you tell me where the Giants are predicted to finish?
Because they haven't been picked yet. They're running a series each day.
I will say to you, what we usually say to Peter, Michael, we're not doing this in D.C. We're doing it in New York.
Thank you.
No one cares.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't understand your thought process. It's the division where the Giants are and the Jets are.
Oh, that's the same logic I used, Don.
If he had picked the Kansas City Chiefs for third, I would not have even brought it up.
All right, guys, we got to move on. This is a big story. Yesterday, we talked about the head coach of Oklahoma State, Mike Gundy, wearing an OWN Network shirt.
Right.
And this is seen as a very rogue, crazed right-wing, as Michael describes it, right of Genghis Khan network. And his star player and running back, who rushed for 2,000 yards last season, Chuba Hubbard, was deeply offended, said he wants nothing to do with Oklahoma State until there's change. Well, apparently the change was him making an apology / concession. Let's hear from first Gundy and Hubbard together making a statement.
In light of today's tweet with the t-shirt I was wearing, I met with some players and realized it's a very sensitive issue with what's going on in today's society. And so we had a great meeting and made aware of some things that players feel like that can make our organization, our culture, even better than it is here at Oklahoma State. And I'm looking forward to making some changes, and it starts at the top with me, and we got good days ahead.
I'll start off by first saying that I went about it the wrong way by tweeting. I'm not someone that, you know, has to, you know, tweet something to break chains. I should have went to him as a man, and I'm more about action. So that was bad on my part. But from now on, we're going to focus on bringing change, and that's the most important thing.
Tobias Harris tweeted out, screaming in all capital letters, "Why are you apologizing, Chuba?" You could see exactly what happened. Gundy called him into his office and aired him out.
But I don't look at him as apologizing as
much. Said, I'm sorry for what I
that no, I said, no, meaning said, I should have talked to you man to man, which is true.
To Twitter.
Right. That's the way I looked at it.
How about Gundy? Do you buy this? This from Bleacher Report. Once I learned how that network felt about Black Lives Matter, I was disgusted and knew it was completely unacceptable to me.
Well, let's hear. We have a Gundy statement. We have a secondary Gundy statement. This is Gundy solo.
I had a great meeting with our team today. Our players expressed their feelings as individuals and as team members. They helped me see through their eyes how the t-shirt affected their hearts. Once I learned how that network felt about Black Lives Matter, I was disgusted and knew it was completely unacceptable to me. I want to apologize to all members of our team, former players, and their families for the pain and discomfort that has been caused over the last 2 days. Black lives matter to me. Our players matter to me. These meetings with our team have been eye-opening and will result in positive changes for Oklahoma State football. I sincerely hope the Oklahoma State family, near and far, will accept my humble apology as we move forward.
What a bunch of trash.
He didn't know.
That is hard to believe.
It's like the scene from Casablanca. Gambling in this establishment? Well, no way. He didn't know that OAN did not approve of the Black Lives Matter movement. He didn't know that. Oh, stop. If you watch the channel, Don has watched the channel.
I watched.
Don, tell me about the channel.
The 700 Club goes, oh my, are they conservative?
So there's no way.
That's how conservative they, like, if you watch it, it's almost, it puts Fox News to shame.
Yeah, it makes Fox News MSNBC. Look like MSNBC.
It is, yeah, it's incredible.
Can you imagine the most unbelievable liberal in the world? Is there a liberal like a high-flying liberal that supports every liberal cause, do they own an MSNBC T-shirt? Think about that.
That's a great. You know, I don't know about.
Do they even make T-shirts? Who would wear it? Rachel Maddow wouldn't wear it. And this guy's parading around in an OAN T-shirt. I'm amazed that Oklahoma State lets this guy get away with it. And previously he had said, I like OAN because they don't give opinions and it's all straight down the middle news. I am not denigrating OAN. If you can watch OAN and say that that's right down the middle, he should not be an educator. He's not that bright.
No, but here's the thing. It's right down the middle if you are someone that firmly believes that type of news. You know what I'm saying? And again, Michael's right. I mean, we're not coming on either side. I'm just saying it's very difficult to believe that you could wear that shirt and not know what they represent.
Now, Michael, I am here to... I do think we're denigrating OAN because it sounds like garbage, but I am here to present the other side, though, Michael. There is MSNBC merch. In fact,
who's wearing it?
You could get a Rachel Maddow hat that says The Rachel Maddow Show. It exists.
I want to see a picture of somebody in it.
Well, I don't know about that. The Fox News store that does a lot of business.
But it's fair to believe that if you are going to wear a Rachel Maddow hat or T-shirt, that you believe what she believes.
That is, I would say, why would you advertise for it if you didn't believe what she said?
I don't think that somebody, okay, would wear a Rachel Maddow T-shirt into a Let's Save the Confederate Flag meeting.
No, probably not.
But Mike Gundy, who coaches a team that's probably 90% African-American, he wore an OAN T-shirt.
Correct.
In effect, telling everybody, I don't care. I only care what I like. I don't care how it affects
you. Because that's how it works in college, right? Your players are your minions. It doesn't matter what they think.
You think the high-ups, Don, called and said, hey, Gundy, you better fix this?
No, because they're afraid of him there. I think that he felt, if I got to get these players to play, I got to fix this. I don't think anybody tells Mike Gundy what to do at Oklahoma State. No one.
Or if they did tell him what to do, it was like very timid and more of a suggestion.
Mike, maybe you better walk this back a little bit. I mean, wear the OAN T-shirt in your basement, but walk it back. And Floyd the Barber, by the way, is the president of Oklahoma State.
Right. Or somebody else. Got a book out.
Nick Kyrgios. One of the most entertaining and sort of controversial figures in tennis, says it's selfish of the U.S. to go ahead with the U.S. Open. He's been in Australia, where he's from, since the pandemic halted the tennis season. He tweeted out Tuesday morning, SMH, people that live in the U.S. of course are pushing the Open to go ahead. Selfish. I'll get my hazmat suit ready for when I travel from Australia and then have to quarantine for 2 weeks of my return. He's the latest player to express concern.
Yeah. Then don't go!
Djokovic, Simona Halep, Ash Barty.
It's really easy. Don't go. Nobody's forcing you to go. You don't have to go.
Well, but that's not fair, though. That's
why?
Not fair. Because if a lot of players have concern, I don't think it's fair to say, hey, there are these four major events where you make the most money, where your career is really made or broken, and if you don't want to go, don't go.
But that's what they do. They would have to cancel the tournament. There's no other place to move it. So either you play it and allow the people that want to play to make the money, or the money goes away. So it's not like, let's move it till December. They can't do that. You can't play tennis in December in New York. So that's why he has every right to say, I don't feel safe. Then don't go.
But he also has the right to feel bad and annoyed about having to skip a major. That is two options.
Skip the major
while his colleagues are playing.
But if all the major guys aren't, it doesn't seem like they're going. They don't have to go because it's either they play it then or they don't play it. So there is no major. Because I think they moved the French Open to right after it. There's no place to move it.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
And they
but I just
Wimbledon.
Understand the frustration. I do.
Yeah.
And by the way, Governor Cuomo gave the okay for now for the U.S. Open to be held as scheduled in August. We'll see. Let's see. If we keep seeing parties like we've been seeing in the East Village, we'll see if there's a U.S. Open in August.
Although, that'll do it for you know what? All of the percentages of the tests have been pretty steady.
In New York?
Yeah.
No, in New York we've been in pretty good shape. But again, that was before I think people started getting outright stupid. Hopefully that stays the same. That'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday.
Phenomenal.
Evening. Thank you.
Really good job.
Really good stuff.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.